Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Hello, I'm Natalia Shpilova-Said, one of the hosts of New Books in Eastern European Studies, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. I'm delighted to speak today with Oleksandra Humenna, one of the authors of Ukraine 2030, The Doctrine of Sustainable Development, published by ADEF Ukraine Ltd. In 2018. Oleksandra Humenna is Dean of the Department of Economics. She has a PhD in economics, and her research interests include creative economy. Hello, Oleksandra, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Hello, Natalia.
Currently, you're here at Indiana University, but I know that you teach at Kyiv Mohyla Academy, Kyiv, Ukraine. Tell us a little bit about what brought you here to IU and about Kyiv Mohyla Academy as well. What you teach there and what your academic interests are.
I came to Indiana University for a short-term research. My stay here lasts 3 months. Almost a full semester. This visit was made possible thanks to a joint project by Indiana University and the National University of Kyiv-Mohyla Academy. The project is designed for 3 years, and it aims to create a master's program in public administration, government communications at our university. A refresher and certification program is also planned, but first of all, it is the most complete master's program. This is an extremely interesting and useful project for all participants. For us, this is not only a benefit for our country, but also a development for the university and for us as teachers. The program is intended to make a broad use of an interdisciplinary approach, as it involves journalists, PRs, lawyers, public administration professionals, and economists. My course in this program will be called Project and Time Management in Government Communications. Now I am taking different courses here. I am studying approaches to teaching, I am interacting with students, and I am studying new literature on my interests. One of the goals of this collaboration is to develop a good course for government officials that will be useful to them. Kyiv-Mohyla Academy, I teach business courses such as creative management, business culture, project management, marketing audit. I am most interested in theoretical and practical aspects of such areas as creative economics and creativity in business, marketing of innovations and innovative marketing, neuromarketing, business culture. These are such diverse research topics, but they form an interesting and much-needed business outlook.
Well, it sounds like a very busy semester for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, today we're speaking about Ukraine 2030, the Doctrine of Sustainable Development, which was published just a couple of years ago. Well, actually, a year ago.
Yes.
And the book offers some programs for the economic development of Ukraine. Could you tell us a few words about this project? When and how did it start, and what does it cover, and who are the contributors?
In fact, the Ukrainian edition, Ukraine 2030, The Doctrine of Sustainable Development, was published in 2017, and an English edition was published in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
The history of this book is very interesting. A couple of years before this book was released, A powerful business forum was held at the Hyatt Hotel in Kyiv, which brought together many very influential businessmen in Ukraine. After the Davos Forum in 2014, when Ukraine's development scenarios were developed, the so-called optimistic scenario was only 3%. Actually, and in 2018, Forsyth already estimated the probability of optimistic development of Ukraine at 0%.
Mm-hmm.
And here is one of the well-known Ukrainian businessmen, the head of the Ukrainian Business Initiative, Sergei Taruta, who invited other businessmen to do something in order to realize the optimistic scenario of Ukraine's development. And then the war began. Sergei Taruta approached the leading scientific and research institutes and universities with a suggestion to summarize all those research studies which were conducted at that time by these institutions. Many talks were held, and as a result, several scientists from five leading Kyiv universities have come together to prepare such a strategically important document. These are representatives of such universities as Kyiv Mihaly Academy, Taras Shevchenko National University of Kyiv, Vadim Hetman National Economic University, National Technical University of Ukraine, University of Life and Environmental Sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, with support of the Ukrainian Business Initiative.
Mm-hmm. So the book offers this program of development for Ukraine, and it is based on some thorough research, and the book itself offers a very detailed analysis of all kinds of data.
Yes.
So what's the data basis for the project in general?
Yeah, actually, we have analyzed a significant amount of socioeconomic development data from around the world, synthesizing available methodological rating tools developed by United Nations experts, the World Bank, the World Economic Forum in Davos, and drawing on the Forsyth 2016 project scenarios developed by a team of National Technical University experts of Ukraine, Igor Sikorsky, Kyiv Polytechnic Institute. By the way, Forsyth of Ukraine was the first attempt of long-term forecasting in Ukraine in the method of planning from the future. That is, we set certain horizons and goals that we want to achieve, and then we begin to offer tactical tools to achieve those goals and horizons. One of our important innovations in the book was the development scenarios for Ukraine, which were developed in Davos in 2014. By the way, I was involved in pre-brainstorming education back in the fall of 2013 when we started developing these scenarios. We also try to use international statistics and the most progressive domestic developments. And the authors of the book use the result of their own research.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to add, we use the term balanced development as the highest level of sustainable development.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in the first chapter of this book, it is mentioned that the current model of the national economy emerged from the wreckage of the Soviet command administrative model. Could you elaborate on this? What were the conditions for economic development of Ukraine in the 1990s, if any? In other words, what's the economic heritage and why, in your opinion, it is so powerful? I'm asking this because it has been 28 years since Ukraine became independent, but for some reason we are still dealing with the Soviet past even when we analyze the economic situation. Isn't 28 years quite a long period for us to be done, so to speak, with the Soviet past? So the contributors of the doctrine state that Ukraine never achieved a de-Sovietization of the administration. So could you cover this aspect as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The main conclusion about the current economic model of Ukraine is that it has completely exhausted the resource even for its own recovery and needs immediate replacement. In 1991, Ukraine had one of the best and strongest economies, not only in the post-Soviet space, but in the entire Eastern Europe, as we had one of the highest indicators of GDP, good industrial and agricultural potential, talented people. The main and biggest mistake of the current period is an attempt to introduce reforms within the old paradigm without drastically changing the models of economic development and government. In the current system, the ruling political class has entered into a permanent conflict with Ukrainian society, provoking a social tension that was overtaken in a radical way by the Orange Revolution and then by the Revolution of Dignity. Experts now say that no matter how hard it is for us, democratic processes are taking place in the country. We are moving evolutionarily, no matter how difficult it is for us during the war in the east of Ukraine.
How would you describe the current attempt, 2019, of the authorities to reform the economy as compared to that when the doctrine was written, I believe, pre-2018?
We continue our research and educational work. Last year, following the results of the doctrine debates in the regions of Ukraine, we wrote and published a white paper on Ukraine's 20 city economic policy, national and regional dimensions. Now we are organizing parliamentary hearings, which we will hold with the aim of adopting the concept of the balanced development of Ukraine until 2030. Is this part of the practical implementation of the doctrine? We can say that for the first time, Ukraine will strategically implement the sustainable development goals, and mechanisms have been developed for this. So far, we have only had presidential decrees that were declarative in nature. I hope that everything will work out.
Sure. So I would imagine that there are a lot of factors that inhibit the economic development of Ukraine at the moment. But would you identify probably the most important or the main factors that inhibit the economic development of Ukraine today?
Yes, of course. Integral risks of to sustainable development for Ukraine have been identified in the context of global risks. One, inefficiency of public administration. Two, critical indicators of debt load. Three, inaccessibility of financial resource through the credit mechanism. And last, four, critical scope and rate of loss human capital. It's maybe the most important point. A key challenge for Ukraine now is effective response and preventive measures for integrated risks. According to the estimations, the critical operational factors of slowing down the development of Ukraine are as follows: losses from hostilities in the east and occupation of the Crimea amounted to 25% of GDP. Next is, according to expert estimations, the share of the shadow sector in the national economy stabilized at 52%. Also, according to official data, the level of the shadow economy was 35% of GDP. Next one is the scale of corruption associated with the shadow economy has reached 14% of GDP. And outdates and inefficient pension system causes a significant negative pressure on the national economy. In the first half of 2016, expenditures of the pension fund of Ukraine amounted to almost 13% of GDP. Now, this percentage is even higher. In 2017, the government debt and the government guaranteed debt reached $71 billion, with the external debt accounting for almost two-thirds, 64.3% of the total government and government-guaranteed debt. And the last one is the energy intensity of Ukraine's GDP exceeds the world average and that of developed countries. With 10% annual economic growth exceeding, Ukraine is able to gain the prospect of joining the top 30 competitive countries in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, your book describes in detail all those domestic either opportunities or challenges with which Ukraine is presented. But your book also puts Ukraine in the global context as well.
Yeah.
So what are those opportunities and challenges for Ukraine when we consider the global economic paradigm? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the main task for Ukraine is to create a sound economic system that is consistent with the national security strategy, strengthening an effective competitive development in accordance with the balanced development goals identified by the United Nations as key recommendations for governments of all countries and in accordance with global megatrends. According to the result of SWOT analysis, and to the Forsyth methodology, the following strengths of the national economy have been identified. First of all, is the presence of multi-sectoral infrastructure, such as military-industrial complex, aerospace, shipbuilding, energy, mechanical engineering, mining, transport engineering, as the basis for cluster economy restructuring. Next one is the presence of educated, able-bodied human capital, as evidenced by the 34th rating of Ukraine from 140 countries according to the rating of the World Economic Forum. The raw materials resource based for nuclear, renewable energy and precision instrumentation. Next one is the favorable geographical location in the Eurasian space, where the weight of transport corridors will only increase in the medium and long term. The very important point is a unique black earth in the global scale. On the territory of Ukraine, which covers almost 0.5% of the earth's land, there are about 20% of the world's black earth.
Mm-hmm.
And Ukraine is one of the largest markets in Europe with almost 40 million consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is the opportunity for the future development of Ukraine is an innovative leap for accelerated economic development based on the effective use of the available human capital potential and strengthening the innovative capacity of the national economy as an integral part of strengthening the country's competitiveness. At the same time, a catalyst for Ukraine's innovation jump is provided by the main carrier of knowledge and skills, by the human being. Human capital issues, factors of safety, culture, science, education, healthcare need urgent attention from the perspective of future development. To transform Ukraine into a country of balanced development, which is a key goal of the doctrine, we need highly educated people united by effective management around the realization of the goals of balanced development on an innovative basis. At the same time, since the GDP growth indicator as the main indicator of economic development doesn't give an opportunity to estimate balanced development and doesn't reflect the quality of life of the population, the author of the doctrine proposed to use the appropriate instrument of key performance index indicators. So we have proposed a human-centric model where man is not the king of nature but becomes the center of public policy.
Mm-hmm.
KPIs allow the quantify the level of formation of the main characteristics of the human-centric model of development as the main theoretical concept of the development of the Ukraine 2030 doctrine. The main driver and source of balanced development is a happy person, his, her, or her creative potential. So the tools of the happiness index and the human development index are of primary importance. For its part, the welfare index is used to test the adequacy of the previous indicators.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not an economist, but I really appreciated how much emphasis you put on the human factor, so
yes,
to speak,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and on, on that index of happiness. But I'm wondering what comes first, happiness or good economy in the country, or
yeah,
it's somehow interrelated.
Yeah. For example, one of the country in the world is Bhutan, has a Ministry of Happiness.
Oh,
yeah, it's so interesting and maybe helpful for people because every person must be happy.
So happiness can be managed somehow. Well, I find the following statement in your book rather interesting. The future of Ukraine should be considered in two dimensions. What should the government change and how should the government change itself? What government changes should take place for the economic development of Ukraine? We have already talked about the Soviet past. Besides overcoming the Soviet past, what changes should the government accelerate when the government itself is concerned? The doctrine also draws particular attention to the necessity of some profound changes on the structural and existential level, as we already mentioned, the happiness of every individual. Quote, in an era of change, there are new responsibilities for people and their entrepreneurial activity. The following questions arise. What should a person do to change himself? And what should a business do to change itself? End of quote. Could we unpack this questions?
When we began to think about what mechanisms should trigger the movement of Ukraine, or rather a quantum leap, as one of the professors of physicists who was present at the presentation of the book defined our ambitious goals. We were interested in KPMG Future State 2030 research. This research was done on a global scale and we adapt it to the realities of Ukraine. The main task here was to see for themselves what people need to understand. One change in power doesn't solve the problem. This is so-called systemic approach. Not only the authorities have to change certain approaches, but also the business. Ultimately, every citizen must change. No wonder they say, you want change, start with yourself, starting with your daily habits and decisions.
Mm-hmm. So the doctrine includes short-term goals, the 2020s, and long-term goals, the 2030s. Would you describe both of them? The reference point for 2030 requires the strengthening of the existing potential in order to achieve new strategic capacities. Would you specify these new strategic capacities?
Mm-hmm. Actually, any global goals are divided into short and long term. The Forsyth methodology is also constructed this way. The following strategic, we can say, breakthrough areas are potentially important and possible for Ukraine. Additive technologies, new nano and biomaterials, renewable energy sources, highly automated industries, robotization, artificial intelligence and intelligent system technologies, informatization, such as cloud technology, computers of new generations, humanization, genetic engineer, nano and biopharmacology, synthetic biology, and greening, low carbon waste, ecosystem restoration technology, and pollution control.
What are potentially important directions for Ukraine? One of the tables that the book includes is the priorities of the world centers of scientific and technological development. And this table includes Ukraine, the US, Japan, France, the UK, and China. Would you talk a little bit about this table?
We are now talking a lot about globalization in the world, as it is blurring the borders. At the same time, each country, and especially the world leaders, have their own success stories. As a prominent Ukrainian who has lived in the United States for a long time, Bogdan Khmelnytskyi, and not only him, said, "Think globally, act locally." In this table, we focus on leading countries with different starting conditions for socio-economic development. And with about strategy, potential interest in for Ukraine, I said earlier.
So, how would you define the horizons of sustainable development of Ukraine, and what are implementation mechanisms for sustainable development policy?
One of the most important development horizons we have set for ourselves is the sustainable development goals. Such as I said, these are the identifiable horizons of our planning. And in our proposals, we have focused on the following mechanism that will allow us to achieve global and national goals, such as mechanism number one, social contract, frameworks, rules, party social responsibility. Mechanism number two, changing the paradigm of public administration, the implementation of the principle of good governance. It may be the first of our tasks, because it's important for next steps. Mechanism number three, structural modernization of the national economy by network principle. Mechanism number four, stimulating economic activity and developing the internal market. Mechanism number five, developing a creative economy. Mechanism number six, effective implementation and development of human and social capital. Mechanism number seven, financial support for balanced development. Mechanism number eight, sustainable investment security. So it may be some complex approach to solve all the problem. Analyzing the world development horizons, comparing the existing strengths and weaknesses of the national economy, the doctrine determines that the main wealth and key potential of Ukraine's development is human capital and investments in people, in science, culture, educational, and healthcare. Give the result that we strive for, a high-tech national economy, as well as sustainable, balanced, and inclusive growth.
So my understanding is that the book is designed for everyone who's interested either in economics or national economy. So what's the main audience for this book?
First of all, the book targets a wide range of readers, so it is not burdened with a lot of calculations. Our task was to convey problems and, most importantly, possible long-term solutions for Ukraine's development by 2030. After the book was published, for 1 year we traveled almost to all regions of Ukraine, except for the occupied territories, giving presentation mainly at universities or local libraries. Our presentations were designed for scientists, representatives of local authorities, business, United Territorial communities, and awards for everyone who is interested in this topic. There were always many questions. We received both praise and criticism, and we were in a lot of doubt. What is really possible to realize what we wrote about? And in one of the cities of Ukraine, one of the guests, a lawyer, said a wonderful phrase after many critical remarks. If you don't dream and plan, then nothing will happen.
Yeah, good approach.
Yes. I would like to point out that this book is in the top five of the best books of 2017 about success and successful people. And it was also nominated for the highest awards in the annual Publishers Forum in mm-hmm. Lviv.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So right now you're at IU, but when you return to Ukraine, what are your plans in terms of teaching and research? Do you think that the book would have been different if your visit to the States would have taken place prior to the writing of this book? So in a nutshell, how would you compare the economic system, traditions, developments of Ukraine and the US? I know that it's quite a comparison, but just maybe a couple of words, comments.
Yeah. I don't think the book would have been different if my visit had happened earlier. Mm-hmm. As our great Ukrainian writer Taras Shevchenko used to say, learn, read, and teach someone else's, and don't shy away. We need to find our way exploring and using our strengths. But maybe I would add to our book the question of building trust in our society. This is what really is an America, at least I felt it here.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to completely replicate the path or experience of another country, even the most successful one, because apart from the traditional political, socio-economic, cultural characteristics, each country has a number of irrational factors, such as the attitude of people to power, such as success, happiness, etc. This is very difficult to consider, but it's not productive either to ignore both successful and unsuccessful experiences. Do dismiss important analysis for the purpose of developing your own path. And when we already published the book and presented it, the epigraph for us was the words of Alice from the book of Lewis Carroll, Alice in Wonderland. It's necessary to run at all feet to stay in place only. And to get somewhere, it's necessary to run at least rather. I think that if we remember these words, and if we say so, run fast and in the right direction, Ukraine will join the cohort of the most successful countries in 2030. We have all the potential for this.
Sure. Well, it's a very optimistic way of thinking.
Yes, I'm optimistic person.
Good. Well, thank you so much, Alexandra, for your time and for your conversation today.
Thank you.
I would like to thank you again for this wonderful research, and I believe this book contributes to our attempts to improve the economic situation in Ukraine, and I really appreciated that you and other contributors put so much emphasis on the fact that people are our main capital,
yeah.
And we have to think about our people and to provide them with opportunities so that we could increase our index of happiness in this world. And I'm sure Ukraine someday will be in that cohort of the most successful countries in the world. You also mentioned briefly the problem that I think that we've been dealing with decades right now, corruption. But
yes.
I believe Ukraine is not the only country that has to deal with that. I think that's something common for all post-Soviet countries, and Ukraine is not the only one that.
Yes, and I hope our research and our acts will be helpful for Ukraine to become successful country.
Well, thank you so much, Alexandra.
Thank you, Natalia.
Today I spoke with Alexandra Humenne about Ukraine 2030, the Doctrine of Sustainable Development, published by ADEF Ukraine Ltd. in 2018. Thank you for listening to New Books in Eastern European Studies, a podcast channel on the New Books Network.